Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
He says, by the way, I know you think this is awful. This suffering is terrible, but it's not. You see, is this the way it works? You're not going to face the second death. The second death, exponentially worse than the first. The first death is basically the separation of my soul and my body. We call it physical death. The second death is separation from God forever. He says, you won't have that. Isn't that an interesting thing in Scripture? If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you only die once. That's why Jesus said you have to be born again.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Apologia. It's a legal term. It means to provide legal testimony. That's what apologetics is. To provide legal testimony that'll hold up in a court of law. He says, make a defense, to give an account. Now, one thing's for sure. If you aren't doing 1 through 3 of what Peter said, you'll never do this. If you don't feel that you don't consider yourself blessed, you're panicked and troubled, and you don't acknowledge Christ as Lord, but the circumstances, I'm pretty sure you're not going to be able to give an account for the hope that's in you, because I'm pretty sure there's not much hope in you. You have to do these things. That's why each year when we talk about this time of year and we talk about missions and outreach and taking the gospel across the street and around the world and supporting it, it's good. I mean, it's good to support it financially. It's needed. But I want to tell you something. Applying it in your own life is infinitely better. It's just much, much better. You see, there are so many implications in this little part of one verse. One implication is this. Apparently, the lost are always watching you. Isn't that interesting? The lost are always watching. They want to see. You see, most of the time, I think when the lost looks at us, besides seeing all of our hypocrisy, they basically say that these are people who are just talkers. They just talk. They're proselyters and talkers. And that's all they want to do is to talk. In other words, we often lack credibility with those who are watching us. There's another implication here. You have to have a relationship with lost people. I mean, you have to. You have to have a relationship with lost people. That's what Christ was talking about when he said, look, I'm going to leave you in the world. I just don't want you of the world. But you need to be in the world. So often as Christians, our whole mindset is to isolate ourselves as much as we possibly can from them. You see, and then we sort of get to what is called historically the holy huddle. And that's great for the huddle, but that's awful for the lost. You see, when he talks about that you need to let your light shine, you can't put it under a bushel, you need to be salt, and if salt isn't salty anymore, it's useless. He's talking about us. He says we have to be able to make an impact, and we have to be in the world to make that impact. So we have to have relationships. The other thing he said there was always being ready. You see, that's up to us. That's a choice you'll make. God will not force you to do this. He'll prompt you with his Spirit, and if you take the step of faith, he'll empower you. But he won't make you. You don't have to share your faith with anybody, ever. That's completely up to you. Apparently, Peter is speaking to everyone, so God is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. You see, sooner or later in your life and in mine as well, all of us individually and sometimes collectively suffer. He says, don't waste that. He said, don't waste that. People on the outside are watching you. You see, you may even be asked, how can you go through this, what you're suffering, and still, in a sense, have these kind of qualities, like you're harmonious and sympathetic and brotherly and kind-hearted, and you're humble, you're not vengeful, you're peaceful. How do you do this? That's what is called the open door. It's not me, it's Christ. You see, that's the opportunity that I have. We are blessed to become a blessing. So often, I think nowadays, even when it comes to apologetics, we view apologetics as arguing. We say that's what we do. We argue with other people about our faith. But notice at the end of the verse, he said that you give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. With gentleness and reverence. We do it in so many times like a combative way, like it's a heavyweight championship fight. He hits me, I hit him. That's not apologetics. That's certainly not Christ. By the way, I guess that's why in a sidebar I love Ravi Zacharias, simply because of the way in which he interacts with other people. He gives everybody respect. He has a gentleness about him, but he certainly gets his point across. It would be good for us to follow that. You see, suffering is our greatest platform. It is. It's our greatest platform because it makes what we say authentic. Everybody knows that, and that's what he is saying here to them. Suffering is our greatest platform for the gospel. By the way, isn't that what the gospel is based on? Isn't Christ suffering? By the way, unfairly, with tremendous unfair suffering is the basis of our faith. Suffering vanquishes ulterior motives. Are you sure? Yes. Why do you think that the eulogy that Monty Williams did went so far across the country? Why? Why so many for that? Suffering. You see, suffering. All those things that were said in suffering, if he would have had no suffering and said them the same exact thing as somebody else's funeral that died at 98, no one would have listened. People listen. When we suffer, what an opportunity that is for us. Consider yourself blessed. Don't panic. Don't worry. Acknowledge Christ as Lord and share your hope with the lost. And then in verse 16, he says, and keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. Don't let mistreatment and unfairness change your integrity. Don't. You see, we do this all the time. I'm amazed at how we do this. And he's saying, whatever you do, don't do that. When they slander you for the very thing they think that you are and you're not, don't slander back. We have watched political campaigns in our country right now where somebody says something about it to someone else and the other person comes back with their own slander and then gets on national TV and says, but he started it. He said it first. What kind of credibility is that? What did you think of people that do that? How did you feel? Now take that to our faith. He says, don't do that. That very thing that they slander for you, let them be put to shame because that's not the way you are. You see, you don't have to slander and fight back because you win in the end. He said, that's what happens. You win in the end. Many will come to Christ. Isn't that amazing? I love what Peter wrote here. He says, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. You know who might have told Peter that? Paul. He said, I persecuted him. I hunted him down. I arrested him. Boy, am I ashamed of that. I think that's what Peter has in mind. I'm so ashamed of that, what I did. Touched by the gospel. It's an amazing statement. There's something else here, though. I want you to now go with me to Revelation chapter 2. And I want you to see the Christ to speak on the same subject as Peter and see the parallels. Verse 8, this is the letter to the church of Smyrna. Smyrna is a unique place. By the way, myrrh and Smyrna are the same. Remember the wise men came and they gave Christ myrrh, Smyrna. Same idea, it's the houses, place of myrrh. When Jesus is buried, there's myrrh. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's got this sorrow and death idea around it. What's really interesting in Isaiah chapter 60, when the second coming of Christ comes, Isaiah says that he'll bring with him gold and incense, but no myrrh. You see, the second coming is different than the first. And this is Smyrna. This is one of the few churches that he has really nothing against at all. But boy, are they being persecuted. Smyrna is this small place that actually built the first temple to worship emperor. They were the first non-Rome place in the world to build a temple to worship the emperor. This is emperor worship. Now, you can understand what ended up happening. Christians would not worship the emperor. They would respect the emperor, but they would not worship him. They would not say he was God. And so they got tremendous pressure and persecution put on them because of that. So Jesus wants to speak to them. He says, "To the angel of the church of Smyrna write, the first and the last who was dead and has come to life, says this." Don't miss that. See, if I was going to say, what does that mean? Let me just say it in one word. Hope. Hope. I identify with Christ. You know who Christ is? He's the first and the last. Everything is in between him. Oh, by the way, he was dead, now he's alive. You see, that's all hope. He first starts out with a description of himself that gives hope. He said, I know your tribulation and your poverty. Couldn't find jobs, couldn't work, ostracized, tremendous persecution. By the way, this is now a lot later than when Peter wrote, 30 years and the persecution is way up. Not only do you now go to the Colosseum and you're fed to wild animals and they are crucified, boiled in oil and things like that, but they actually established at this time what they called the rack. And the rack was 8 feet high and about 2 feet wide, and they would strap your ankles to it and your wrist to it, and then they would crank it, and they would just keep cranking it until eventually they pulled your arms out of socket, and then eventually they would tear your limbs off with it. And that's how you would die. That's what's happening to these people. This isn't in the future for them. This is now for them. So he says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you're rich. You see, how does the world look at them? Poor. How does Christ look at them? Rich. You see, they have laid up treasures in heaven. They're going to be rich forever. He says, you have real wealth. They don't. They just think they do. He then says this. He says, and the blasphemy by those who say that they are Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan, that's the Lord's view, of those who were leading the charge to get these people, he says to them, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Does that sound like Peter? Exactly the same. Don't be afraid. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. He says, behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested. And you will have tribulation for 10 days. Now, what does the 10 days mean? I don't know. It could be 10 days. But I think what I know is what he's saying. Do you know how long you'll suffer? Exactly as long as my sovereignty allows you to. And not a day longer. You see, I am the first and the last. You see, this is my creation. You'll suffer, he says, for 10 days. Now, 10 days of suffering in a certain way would seem excruciating. He says, for 10 days, he says, but here's what I'd ask of you. Be faithful until death. Be faithful. It's exactly what Peter is saying in a different way. Consider yourself blessed. Don't panic. Don't worry. Acknowledge Christ as Lord. Share your faith with the lost. Keep a clear conscience. He says, you be faithful until death. He says, and I will give you the crown of life. Oh, the Romans were big on crowns. They love crowns. He said, I'll give you a crown that they don't have. The crown of life. I put a crown on your head that never will come off. It's a crown of life. He said, I'll see this. He said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then he says this, he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. He says, by the way, I know you think this is awful. This suffering is terrible, but it's not. You see, is this the way it works? You're not going to face the second death. The second death, exponentially worse than the first. The first death is basically the separation of my soul and my body. We call it physical death. The second death is separation from God forever. He says, you won't have that. Isn't that an interesting thing in Scripture? If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you only die once. That's why Jesus said you have to be born again. He says you're not going to face the second death. By the way, no matter how bad the rack seems, no matter how bad it seems to be crucified or how bad it seems to be fed to lions, it's not even comparable to be separated from God forever, and you won't be. He wants them to be faithful. We can see an ever-increasing chasm between our postmodern culture in what we call biblical values. More and more, we're learning that they don't like us. And somewhere down the road, persecution may become the norm. And that will be a great time of hope for the church and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think of this. Out of persecution of the early church came the Apostle Paul. Out of that persecution came the Apostle Paul. Russell Moore, contemporary scholar, said he was in a conversation with Carl Henry. Carl Henry, the great biblical scholar and apologist of yesterday. And he asked him if he is worried about what he sees happening within the culture of America, and will that have it be a destructive thing to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to our church? And he said, Henry just looked at him puzzled and said, well, of course not. He then said, who knew that Saul of Tarsus would become the great apostle to the Gentiles? He says, who knew that the agnostic professor would become the great philosopher C.S. Lewis? Russell Moore said, I took these words to heart, and here's what he wrote. He said, the next Jonathan Edwards it might be the man driving in front of you with a Darwin fish bumper. The next Charles Wesley might be a profanity-spewing hip-hop artist right now. He said the next Charles Spurgeon might be managing an abortion clinic right now. He said the next Augustine of Hippo might be a sexually promiscuous cult member right now. Just like, come to think of it, the first Augustine of Hippo was. He said the next Billy Graham might be drunk or hungover right now. He goes, that's the power and the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, that's what can be born out of persecution. The Lord himself said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. This will happen. Jesus will build his church. By the way, with you or without you, he will. But no matter how bad it seems to you, if you are ready to give an account for the hope that is in you, it'll be with you. It'll be for his glory. It'll be for your good. Let's pray. Father, my prayer is simple. Just for each and every one of us to understand that whenever we individually or collectively find ourselves suffering, this is an incredible platform for us. First of all, it's a great opportunity to deepen our relationship with you and to grow spiritually. Secondly, though, Father, it's a tremendous opportunity for us to share the hope that is in us, to be able, when we're asked by others, how can you do this? How can you feel this way? We can talk about the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives. What an effective way to lead others to Christ. Father, I thank you that even though there is plenty of tribulation and trial and suffering in this world, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has overcome this world. We pray in his name, and we live for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly, or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.